still God in prayer before we get started. Father, we'll be thankful, God, for your spirit, Father, how you've been here to deal with us, dear Lord. We pray, God, you help us now as we work and labor, dear God. You know what you told us to say, Father. We could have seen other faces, God, but Lord, you knew who would be here. You knew the message, who would be for. So we just pray, God, to help us. Help us, dear God, to be faithful to your kingdom, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I read some stuff on the internet this week. Somebody who used to go to Church of God congregation, and she laid them out big time. And she blasted everything that we teach. And there's reasons from behind it, I'm sure. And if I mention out where she went, you guys know where she went. You guys know the pastor that she had. And she said, the way she was talking, Brother Mike, she was talking about that everything he said was wrong. You know, I believe that she, because she went there for several years, and I didn't know her pastor, Pastor X, Pastor Doug, got it. But anyway, I didn't know him. So I don't know, I have to take, all I hear is one side. What she said, what she was railing against, the thing that she was coming up against, I agree with. The doctrine that she was, it may be, I see the case that maybe she could have either had it one time and lost it, backslid, and now he's got a spirit of bitterness towards that. Or she may have been as a child brought to church, made to follow rules, never explained why, and so all it was just a list of rules. Some reason she now is against the thing. What she's against is the truth. For whatever reason, she's very, very bitter. But I'm not here to preach against her either, because I don't know her. The title of the message is, what does God require? I believe that, I've heard Brother Wilson say it many times, I've said it a few times myself, it's easier to please God than it is man. Because there's only one God, many men. I don't care, Brother Casey, what man it is. Every man, you and I don't agree on everything. We differ. And if you were trying to please me, you might not please Brother Casey. Vice versa, if you try to please Brother Casey, you might not please Brother Mike. So the question is not so much as how do I fit in with the people, but the question is, like the scripture is going to say to me, what does God require? Mm-hmm. You know what, Brother Casey? If we'll just follow God, what man thinks about us won't matter so much. Now, I want you to be accepted, but if God accepts me, I don't care what man thinks. Now, I'm not saying mean, I'm not being bitter. I'm just saying, what does God require? He is a lot easier to please than man. Because, you know, another thing, Brother Casey, God don't change. Man change. I mean, I've seen men who one time preached one thing, and the same man preached the totally exact opposite. So if what he preached, one of those is right or wrong, or maybe both of them is wrong, but either way, if I would have been following God and this guy changed, I'd still be following God. That's what I'm getting at. What I'm trying to get you to do is, I'm trying to get you tonight not to look at me. Anybody who teaches, preaches, look to God. What does God require out of you? And that way, no matter what, because at the end, he's the one who answers to anyway.
That's right.
No man will stand behind the judgment bar and say, this one in, that one's out. So what does God require? Let's just make it simple. Paul talks about the simplicity of the gospel. We make it so complicated. You got to jump through my hoops. You got to fit through this thing. You got to do this. And you got to look like this. You got to talk like that. And I'm not saying that what we're teaching is wrong. I'm just saying too many times it's delivered in a way that's so hard and harsh and dogmatic that it runs people away. The doctrine may, you can have the right doctrine, but the wrong spirit. I'd rather to talk to somebody who may be a little off on his doctrine, but have a right spirit, than to have somebody who has all the doctrine, but mean and hateful. That detests me, because you can't get along with them. You know, yeah, God don't like that. Yeah, who are you? So, what does God require? Let's find out. Micah, chapter 6. Micah, very small prophet. Yes, you can. That's exactly right. The gospel, I believe Ken said, the gospel was meant to share, not to show. It's right after Jonah. But Micah says, and to know that, you need to know the background. What's going on here? If you know anything about Israel, they were always leaving God. God would bless them, they'd take off. God would get them out of trouble, they'd take off. Here they are again. Now they're at this time they are on the outs with God, and they're accusing God of being in the wrong. They're putting the blame on God, but God didn't do it. So sort of says what God says. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. He says, O my people, what have I done to thee? Somebody stand up right now and tell me what God's done against you. Tell me where God has failed you. Now, in the past, in the future, tell me somebody, what did God do to you? I'll give you a few minutes to think about it. I don't believe you're going to need any time, because God ain't never done you wrong. So he's saying, what did I do to you? Israel here was mad at God because of their own fault. If Brother Casey, if you get on the outs with God, blame Casey. Don't blame faith. Don't blame the kids. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame Casey. But the rest is saying for you, all of it. I'm saying that. I use him. He can take it. Any of us. We get on the outs with God. Don't come back saying, God, you done me wrong. I challenge anybody to show me one time in history where God's failed you. It's not going to happen. He said, what have I done to thee? Where have I wearied thee? It's the devil that wears out the saints, not God.
Right.
He said, testify against me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, please, tell me what I've done wrong. Show me where I can fix it. And they didn't have no charge. He says, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and I have redeemed thee out of the house of servants. But, Rusty, you've never been to Egypt, as far as I know. But spiritually, you were down in Egypt.
Yes.
Egypt is a type of sin, a type of bondage. And every one of us who are saved today was down in Egypt. We were down there in bondage, held captive. We were slaves to sin. We had to make bricks, so to speak, and spiritually speaking. We were the ones who were God brought out. He said, I brought you up. What are you going to blame me for? I didn't do anything to you. You did it to yourself. He said, oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. And Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that thou may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before thee, the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? They're going to say, what can I do to come back to God? They're going to have a whole list of things of how they think they should come back to God. They think that God wants this and God wants that. Did you know that one time they even thought that God wanted a human sacrifice? And they actually sacrificed a human. They thought that would appease God. God ain't wanting your human sacrifice. He ain't wanting you to give your kids up and kill them. He's not wanting you to. He says here, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? What can he give him, Brother Rusty? All the money you got, your car, your house, everything? He ain't asking for that. He's not asking for your possession. He is, but that's not what's going to satisfy him. Because if you give him your heart, that your possession will belong to him anyway. Whether you give him to him or not, it belongs to him, Brother Rusty. But he says, what do you want to give me? I'm not asking for all your stuff. Well, he showed me a man what is good. And what doth the Lord require? Here's the message. What does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. Just do what's right. Just live a good, clean, righteous life. That's what he asked for, Brother Rusty. He says, to do justly, to love mercy. Who loves mercy? Whenever you're sitting with a blue light behind you, and you've done 80 and a 55, you want mercy then, don't you? You love mercy then. Whenever you owe somebody $50 and you ain't got it, you love mercy then. And whenever you got in trouble with mom and daddy, and for not cleaning your room, you love mercy then. Let me ask you this: whenever you're the one that owes somebody, when somebody owes you $50, you love mercy then. We like it whenever we're the ones who need mercy. Do we like it? Do we love mercy whenever when somebody hits our car? Do we love mercy then? We like it a lot less, don't we? But we like it whenever we're the one needing the mercy. But he says here, if you want to please God, love mercy. He didn't say love getting mercy. He said love mercy. That's going to be closer. See, he's got strict requirements, but they're not hard. It's not hard to please God. It takes some effort. I'm not going to say this is going to be easy. Just going to walk through this thing. It's going to take some effort. You know why? Because your flesh don't like it. My flesh don't like it. Well, tonight I could be anywhere tonight doing anything, and it wouldn't be near as much struggle as it is tonight. Because the flesh don't enjoy what the Spirit does. But this is what God requires to do. Just do what's right. To love mercy, getting and giving, and to walk humbly before your God, with your God. Walk humbly, not proud and arrogant. Does anybody know what the sin of Sodom was? We always think of homosexuality, and that's a nasty thing. But you know what? That's not what God, was not the first thing God called out against them. Ezekiel 16:49 says, "This is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Pride. Very first thing he mentioned, pride. He despised their arrogant nature because they were so proud people. If you want to be a proud man, you won't walk with God. You can't do it. He said he gives grace to the humble. We can't. So here's the requirements, he said, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, how hard is that? Not that hard. It's now, see, if we're doing these things, we may make some enemies in the flesh. Some people won't like us, you know. But as long as God is for us, who can be against us, you know? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, sort of the same thing, but it's kind of more expounded on. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, "Now, Israel, what doth the Lord require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways." Now, it's all His ways. You know, Brother Mike, it's not hard to walk in the ways that you like. But sometimes it's some of the ways you don't really like, you know. Walk in all of them, not just part. You cannot half please God. You cannot half do His things. He says to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. We sing a song, "I'll put my whole heart in His service." Easy to sing on a Thursday or Wednesday when we're in service, but what about Tuesday when we're at work? Then that's where the rubber meets the road, you know. Do we love God? Do we serve God then? Whenever we're at work and there's a chance to witness, do we actually do that? You know, that makes it a little tougher. That's whenever God wants us to work. I say all the time, but in case I didn't come to church tonight, I came to service to get my soul fed so that I can go to be to church tomorrow. You know, that's what the church work's done. I don't expect a great influx of people coming in here until they get saved. So what we need to come here for is us come together, sing, testify, preach, whatever, get us charged and revived and get out there. I can't go to Greer Laboratory unless I get a visitor's pass, but you can. You have access. You have friends there. You have influence there. You require more the same way. We, and everywhere you guys work, everywhere you shop, everywhere you go to the library, whatever, that's where you're supposed to be doing the church, the work of the church. Loving God is loving Him then, too, you know. It's not just loving Him in service. 1 Kings 18:20, I won't turn there, but Elijah was on the mountaintop. He had a bunch of Baal worshippers, those who were worshiping false gods, and he asked them a question. He said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, you serve Him." So the question is, who are we serving, you know? Well, I know it's a Church of God service. I know everybody's going to say, "I'm serving God." Well, are we really serving God? How would you know if you're serving God and who you're not? I just give you a list. Are you following that list? To love God, to love mercy, to do justly, and walk humbly before God. If you're not doing those things, you're not meeting what the requirements are. He said, "What does the Lord require? Not what I require." You know, I might want you to wear a green shirt and a purple hat, but that won't matter. What matters is, what does God require? That's how we're going to get there. We can all have our special quirks and ins and outs, and we all have our own. And that's why I brought the lady up at first, because she was being conformed while she was there, but she didn't. I don't know why she did. She may have been doing it just to appease the people. If she had been doing it to please God, no matter what the people had done, she'd still love God. She may not love what the people did to her. I'm not saying that's going to be easy when people hurt you, but I'm saying if you're loving God, no matter what people do, you won't be backlashing what God teaches. God don't teach you one thing, and then when you get out in the world, that you do something else. The law is still the same. I'm not doing away with the doctrine of the church, but I'm just saying that God's not hard to please. Man puts his unbearable standards on people. 1 John 5 and 3. Now, God does have commandments, you know. Would you like to have Caden and not have any rules? Just let Caden be Caden. What would Caden do? He'd be a madman. He'd be a bored brat when you send him out to the world. So you give him rules. Why? Because you love him, right? Well, God would be the same way. If he let us just do our own thing without giving some type of rules, he wouldn't love us. 1 John 5 and 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." I was talking to somebody this week, and she said, "I love God." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, the Bible says if you love Him, you keep His commandments." So I put the word on it. And by her own testimony, by her lifestyle, she didn't love God. So it says, "For the love of God, we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." But it's just not hard for me when God asks me to do something because I love Him. If you find it hard to do what God asks you, might want to check your love. Might want to check to see if there's something between you. We know if there's something between you, it's not on God's part. Don't go for it. He'll say, "What did I do to you, Brother Rusty?" You can't charge Him.
Right.
But anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Now, we always read the first verse of this and we quit. You know, Romans, the 12th chapter, is a very good book for just practical living. Just things to teach you how to live a good Christian life. It's beyond just the first two verses. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that presents your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy." If Brother Casey, if you've got a gift, you work on that gift. Don't try and put your gift on me. And don't try to take the gift that I've got. But Mark, you may have something that I can't do. You work on that. He's going to give a list of things. Don't try to live in somebody else's grace. He gave us all the same measure of faith, but all different gifts. He said, "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to measure, according to proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching." We always think of ministering as what I'm doing right now. Stand behind the pulpit and ministering the Word of God to you. That's one part of it. But you know, there's other parts to that. Did you know that there's, and I think Brother Robert brought a lesson on one time, and I did too. There's a guy named Stephanus. Anybody know who Stephanus is that's never heard of him? I guess you wouldn't if you never heard of him. But does anybody know who Stephanus is? Stephanus was a little known man. He was one of Paul's converts when Paul came through a town called Achaia. He was part of the first ones who got saved there. Well, he tells in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, or 16 chapter, verse 15, he says that, "Look at the household of Stephanus, because he has addicted himself to the ministry of the saints." I don't know if he's ever preached in his life. I don't know if he ever pastored or anything, but he ministered to the saints. But occasionally you can minister, but never get behind the pulpit. You know, there's people that need a little money for gas, you can minister that way. There's people who need help with fixing something, you can minister that way. There's lots of ways of ministering. Don't always think about standing behind a pulpit. You know, Virginia goes over to the nursing home. That's not a place for me to live or to work. I don't want to do anything with the nursing home. I'm afraid of them, and people scare me. But she has a ministry. She didn't know anything about it. She just thought she was just fellowshipping, going out through the talk to these old people. I'll tell you what, when you're confined to that place, and all you see is nurses sticking and poking on you. It's nice if somebody just wants to talk to you.
Yes.
Not ask you about your blood pressure, not to change your diaper. They're there to actually work with you. That's a ministry. Well, that's not my ministry. I can't go over there and do that kind of stuff. So she's never preached, as far as I know. Not 21 years anyway. But she's got a ministry. So you guys have a ministry. Sister Francis, you got a ministry. You got a gift to talk to people. You brought more visitors than anybody I know. You got a ministry. I can't take your ministry. If we jealous because somebody has a gift we want, seek God for it. God will give it to you. Don't get jealous because somebody's got it. Like Brother Shannon just came in, but he's got a zeal, wants to sing all the time. Don't get jealous because he's seen one. You see one. If that's, we should help him in his ministry. We should encourage him in his ministry. And if he's got a better, like Rusty preached last night, if he's got a greater appetite, then he'll grow faster than us. We all have different ministries. We need to wait on our own ministry. Don't worry about somebody else's. Just, if God gives you a talent or a skill or a gift, use it. Work at it. If you're a carpenter, be the best carpenter you can be. If you're a plumber, whatever. Whatever God's given you, be the best you can do. If you're a preacher or a teacher, be the best you can do. Give it all to God. He said, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But it says, he that waits on ministry, let him wait on his ministry. He that teaches on teaching. He that exhorteth, now Brother Tim, he can really exhort. Brother Tim, Brother Clark, you know, I'm not an exhorter. I get up and I say my little piece and I'm done. I can't get up like Brother Tim does and run the aisles and fan your smoke and stuff like he did in Wilkesboro. I can't do that kind of stuff. That's not my gift. But I'm not going to be jealous because he can get the crowd going. You know, that's his thing. But we're all working for the same. We're supposed to be working for the same goal anyway. That's to working to see people come to the kingdom, right? If you have those gifts, wait on them. And don't think about waiting as sitting down here and waiting for them to come. When you go to the restaurant and you have a waiter, they don't sit and wait on you. They come and they wait on you. They come and serve. What he's talking about, if you got a gift, wait on it. Go do something with it. But Casey, if you put your talent in your back pocket, you're going to lose it. But he said if you hide your talent in the earth, that he'll come take what you got. Not your stuff, but he'll take your talent. You know? He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth them do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. What does dissimulation mean? It's a big old fancy word. What does that mean? I had to look it up, so don't feel bad. I had to look it up. It means without hypocrisy. So I didn't know until I looked it up. Hold your finger right there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And I'm teaching about what does God require. He's got just a simple, basic plan. And I'll sum it up at the end and it'll make a lot of sense. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Talking about love without hypocrisy. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brother. What does unfeigned mean? Exact same thing. It means it's not fake. It's not genuine. It's genuine love. But like I can tell you, I love you all day long. But if I won't help you, you ain't gonna believe me, are you? Unless you're pretty deceived. If I love you, I'll show something. I will do something. It's easy to say I love you, but it's harder to show that. But that's part of it, you know. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. What does abhor mean? Hate, to detest. Can't stand it. I hate to be around it. There's this lady. This lady here, works here in the library when you go get the key. She abhors snakes. I'm talking about she detests snakes. Well, back in the spring, I went to get the key one day. She said, I said, it's getting warm. I said, oh, it's time for snakes. And she said, just like that. She was so scared. I said, that's okay. Just put you some lime out around your property and it won't cross over your line. It won't come into your property. What if it's already in? It can't get out. She hated snakes that bad. There's another lady I heard that hated snakes that bad, that she hated a picture of a snake. She couldn't stand to even see a picture. We need to hate sin that way. We can't stand to do it, can't stand to hear it, can't stand to watch it, can't stand to be around it. We need to hate sin that much. Not the sinner. We need to hate sin so much that we don't even want to see a picture of it. Don't want to be around it. It makes us sick to think about it. That's what, and now we're reading practical living tips. Just hate, he said, hate evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cleave means you hang on to it. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That's the hard thing to do. When we see somebody getting a little more and more of God's Spirit, sometimes we get jealous. We get that spiritual jealousy. We need to prefer each other. I don't care if you've got more knowledge than I got. I don't care if you can talk better than I do. That's not hard to do, to talk better than I do. I don't care if you can sing better than I do. That's not my thing. We need to prefer one another. If it comes down to it, we need to say, no, brother, you go ahead. You do whatever God would have you to do. Not slothful in business. What does that mean? That means you're not milking the clock. Whenever you're supposed to be working, you're over there talking. That's no tougher. And we're talking about practical living tips that God requires, okay? We're not saying the punch clock at 3:30 when you're supposed to have been sweeping clean. You're not cheating the man out of his money. You're giving the man an honest day's work. I can't stand it. I see people do it all the time. I've been guilty myself, knocking off earlier. But that's not what God wants. God wants you not to be slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. And just hold it up there. You go over to Ephesians chapter 2 while you're there. Rejoicing in hope. You know, Brother Rusty, without God you ain't got no hope. You got no hope. Not hope in the future. No hope in the present. Whenever it says here in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, you weren't born a Jew. You were born a Gentile. Anybody who's not born Jewish bloodline, you're a Gentile. There's only two. You know, there's many people who fit in Gentiles, but only one fit in the Jew category. So, Brother Casey, you don't look like a Jew to me. Your hair color lets me know that you probably weren't a Jew. So this is you, this is me. As you can tell me, I'm not a Jew. It says that at that time, you were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the promises, covenants and promises, having no hope. If you ain't got Christ, if you ain't got God in your life, if you ain't got Him, if you're not part of His family now, you still have no hope. Why? Because the hope comes from Him. And he said here in Romans, to rejoice in hope. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Remember whenever the disciples came back and they had seen great miracles and they said, "We've seen the devil as it were lightning fall from heaven." He said, "Don't rejoice in that." He said, "Rejoice that your name is written down in the book of life. Just be thankful that you're saved. Don't rejoice in the big things that God's done. Rejoice in the things that, you know, don't rejoice in the things you've done. Rejoice in the things that God's done." That's what I meant to say. Rejoicing in hope. This is one of the toughest ones to do. Now, we're talking about practical living tips. Patient in tribulation. Now, who likes to be in tribulation? Stand up now. Yeah, he's a glutton for pain. Yeah. But I know him pretty well. I know him in his dark hours. He still don't like tribulation. I know he goes through quite a bit of it. Some of it's self-inflicted. But tribulation is not fun. I remember a few months ago, man, things were going good. And I told Janice today. And I thought, man, people were talking about how they're having this trouble. And they said, that's right. I wasn't at that time. At that time, I'll tell you now. At that time, I wasn't having no trouble. And I couldn't really say, well, I actually thought, I didn't ask God because I was afraid to. I said, "I ain't having no trouble. What's going on?" And then all of a sudden, it just hit me, and it has not let up. And I thought, well, I know now. I'm thankful that I've had that time to rest and refresh because now I need it. Now I can see the end of the tunnel. I'm still up there, but I see the end of a tunnel. And my tribulation is letting up. But I know that when I get out of this trial, there'll be another one. One thing for sure, trials will come. But the hard part is being patient in them. Don't pray for tribulations. Don't pray for patience. To get patience, you have to have tribulation. He said, "Tribulation works with patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed." It's all you just don't get hope, you got to go through the tribulation, you get the patience, and it just builds up. But it says, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that curse you, that persecute you, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thy own conceit. That's just a list. If you want to know how to live for God, and you ain't got but just enough time to read one chapter, read Romans chapter 12 and dwell on it. That's the requirements. He gives you just a simple way of living. Now, that's not a bunch of hard rules. It's just plain, simple living. I'm going to sum it up in one scripture. I'm going to do an illustration, then I'll let you go. Matthew 22. Sister Clark, Brother Randy, and Brother Scott sang a song. that sums this up in one song. Loving God and loving each other. If you do those two things, but Casey, if you love God and you love man, I ain't got to worry about locking my doors around you because you ain't going to steal nothing from me. You better not. If you do, you're not loving God and loving man. But if you love God and love man with all your heart, you won't be stealing. You won't be cheating on your taxes. You won't be doing things you shouldn't be doing. If you get these two things down pat, everything else will fall in place. So what I'm saying is, it's not hard to please God. Just love Him with all your heart, because when you love Him with all your heart, you're willing to give up anything. If God said, Casey, quit eating spinach or quit eating whatever, that may not be hard to do. Well, but if, and that may be trivial, but if God told you to give something up, if you truly loved Him and God asked you to, not if man asked you, but if God asked you to, Brother Leslie, to give up something, and if you truly loved Him, it wouldn't be hard, would it? It's not hard whenever you love God. And I'm not here to give you a bunch of lists. You let God tell you what to do. But Matthew 22 and verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you do these two things, everything will be falling in place. It's not really hard to trust your brother when he loves God. So what does the Lord require? That's pretty easy and simple. And another thing too now, as Brother Casey, whenever we get saved, we have a certain amount of knowledge of what God wants. And as long as you're walking in that certain amount of knowledge, you're good to go. I'm going to show you an illustration. The rest of you help me understand. Okay. This thing of this right here, this water, this is a jug of water. Think of this as God's perfectness. You have to live to all this knowledge here to please Him, okay? Well, when you get saved, there's no way you can drink that much water. But you've got a small cup of knowledge. You know a little bit of what God wants, and all He asks you to do is to live to that. He'll give you this much knowledge, and you feel that much spirit. Now, as long as you're living to that much, He's not going to require this out of you. He requires what you know. Now, Brother Mark, you don't know as much about God as I do. You shouldn't, because I've been serving God a long time. You may do it, I don't know. But you have to live in what you know. You may know this much, you may know this much, but you walk in what you know. Well, Brother Rusty, you've been saved a little while, and God may come to you and say, now, you've done real good, but would you give up something else? And He gives you a bigger knowledge. Now, pour that in there. That's okay. Now see, now He's got more knowledge, but He's not living to all of it. So now He's got to measure up. You can put that little down. He's got to measure up now to this, because God has given Him more truth, given Him more knowledge. Well, now He's okay because He's living all He knows. There's the people that know more than Him, and that's okay because He's living all He knows. And as long as you do that with us, you're fine. But if you live long enough, and you're doing things like you're supposed to be doing, God's going to give you more knowledge. He's not going to leave you where He found you. The Christian walk is, I heard it one time said, the Christian walk's like a greased pole. You're either climbing or sliding. You can't stay still. If you live long enough, and you study like you're supposed to be, and you go to church like you're supposed to be, the preacher or somebody's going to come to you, God's going to show you some more knowledge. Now you've got to measure up to that. Okay? And I see, you're living what you used to know, but now you know more. So you gotta measure up, or you won't be God's child. You can live that much in the knowledge of this much, and you're not pleasing God, because He said you gotta lose all that you know.
Right.
So you gotta add some more to it. I'm gonna stop for you. You get the idea. The longer you know, it helps to. Hold on a second. The longer you know God, you'll add more knowledge and more knowledge. We have to measure up to that. Sister Francis, you want to know more than somebody who got saved yesterday. And if you're trying to live in their knowledge, you're not pleasing God in all His ways, because you know better. And another thing, too, it's a tough one. Once you know this much knowledge, you can't go back to this. Pour that in there now. Let's see.
Just keep pouring.
Just keep pouring. Don't pour it out. Stop it. There. Okay, now. He's trying to live in last year's experience, but he's got more knowledge than that. He knows better than what he's doing. You can't go back. He said, if I rebuild the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. When God brings more knowledge and brings more light, you got to walk in that. And as long as you're walking, you sit that down there. As long as you're walking in all that you know, don't worry about something else until God shows you more. And then when he does, the thing about it is, new light won't take you back to old knowledge. Okay? If God took something from you, if God took something from you, not somebody, if God took something from you, or God put something on you, he's not going to remove that. Now, if a man puts something on you, that's different. What I'm saying is when God shows you and God reveals to your heart, Rusty, I want you to do this and such, then you've got to do that much. He's not going to take you back to last year's knowledge. Okay? That's what I'm saying. But the whole lesson is, just live in the knowledge you got. What does God require? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. If you're doing that, and you're doing all you know, just enjoy it. Because more knowledge is going to come if you're doing what's right. Then you got to measure up. Because to whom much is given, much is required. The more you know, Brother Mike, you've been in this business for a long time. You ought to know some things. So much more is required of you than somebody who got saved last week. Okay? But God's commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. He's not a hard God to serve.
Amen.
It's the best way. Anybody who's truly saved would say, this is the best way.
Yes.
And I don't want to go back to last year's knowledge. It's the best way. So what does God require? Just follow God's Spirit what He tells you to do. Don't try to conform to man, because that will get you in trouble.